what happens to us when there is no sin. I saw a little story that entitled Good versus Evil, and it says, once upon a time, the fallen angel Satan called his minions to the conference table in hell headquarters. Looking around the room at his anxious underlings, he said, guys, we have a problem. 3 days ago, Jesus, the Son of God, died on a cross for the sins of the world. Well, the news put the demons in an uproar because they knew the way of salvation had been secured through Christ's blood. But Satan prodded them and said, it only gets worse. This morning, Jesus arose from the dead. At that announcement, there was much weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth because the demons knew that many of the people they were trying to lure to hell would be saved. So what are we going to do, Satan asked. What are we going to do to turn men and women away from God? So a great deal of discussion ensued until finally several demons suggested we need to make them suffer. We need to make them suffer and curse God and die. And Satan said, now listen, knuckleheads, we already tried that. You remember Job? Remember how we had those foreigners kill all of his servants and steal his cattle and his livestock? And then we sent that great wind and kill all of his 7 sons and 3 daughters. And what about that skin disease that covered Job and all sores? Remember how we took everything away from him except for his nagging wife and those 3 useless friends? What did that accomplish? Job just went on trusting God, and in the end, God restored to him twice as much as he had before. And the demons said, oh, yeah. So they talked among themselves for a little while longer, and then a little bit of eternity passed, and finally Satan himself exclaimed, I know what we'll do. We'll get people to destroy themselves with evil. The demons looked perplexed. Well, what do you mean, boss? People aren't stupid, you know, so how are we going to do that? Satan said, it's really, really simple. Very, very simple. All we have to do is make people look good. That's one of the things that happens when there's no truth. Evil looks good. We live in postmodern times. We hear all the time. Postmodern means after modern. And if you are much of a historian, you will know that the age of enlightenment was in the 1700s. And during that time, that's when the modern age began. Those of you who have no idea what the modern age was, aren't you glad you came tonight so I can tell you? The modern age was characterized by emphasis on science and rationalism. People believed in only what could be seen or otherwise known through the senses. Human beings, though merely cosmic accidents, became the measure of all things. And science became the means through which all questions could be answered and progress could be made. Postmodernism, then, is a backlash. We decided we couldn't figure everything out, and we couldn't prove everything, and we couldn't see everything empirically, that is, through our senses. So postmodern came along as a backlash to modernism. We discovered, this note says, that we are more than machines. We realized we are more than body and mind. We are spiritual creatures. This shift back to spirituality, this writer says, is a good thing. We understand there is more to creation than what we can see. But the downside to postmodern thought is the loss of absolutes. We didn't swing back toward the God of Christianity. He had already been dismissed as obsolete. So we began to feel our need for the spiritual without any set standard. No set standard for truth. Truth has become relevant to one's own culture, language, and desire. Now, as we endeavor to satisfy our spiritual selves, we come to believe that all paths lead to God. Doesn't matter which direction you're going, you can talk to somebody and that will say, hey, we're all going in the same direction, aren't we? They're going that way, and you're going this way. Does it seem like you're going in the same direction? They all say, we're serving the same God, aren't we? Well, no, we're not. You're serving the God that believes in all of these things. I'm trying to serve the God that believes in all of these things. We're not going to the same place. We're not going in the same direction. And we are not serving the same God. Many of you will recognize the name Oprah Winfrey. She gave a speech recently at an awards ceremony. And in that awards ceremony speech, she spoke of truth about six or seven times. Several of those times, she said, some of you are doing so great tonight because you discovered your truth. Your truth. You see, what Oprah Winfrey really believes is you've got a truth and I've got a truth. In the article that I was reading about that, this author said, oh no, she doesn't believe that. Unless she wants to believe that. Because she has some people on her show that believe several things that Oprah Winfrey would never go for. She would not settle for their truth. She would only settle for her truth. But you see, she would preach and teach us tonight, your truth is what matters. And I want to tell you, no, it's not. The truth of God is what matters. Billy spoke this morning about truth will set you free. And he shared some things from which truth sets us free from. And then some things which truth sets us free to do. Great message. Great implication that everybody needs the truth that God. When you take a look at our culture, J. Wallace Hamilton said, our modern age is a pushover for the shallow and the shortcut. We want to change everything except the human heart. We're going to let the human heart keep going in the direction of our truth. It doesn't matter what God's truth is. We want to keep the heart in a changing position so that if my truth changes, that's the only way the heart wants to change. But to turn back to God is a very, very difficult thing. Now, when we go to the book of Jeremiah, wow, what a great book to see what happens when there is no truth. When there's no truth, prophets change their message. There were some people very faithful to God. They knew God's will. They knew God's message. They knew the law. They knew what they should do, what they shouldn't do. They knew what sin was. But the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Did God ever say that? Well, yes, he did. On condition. On condition that those people listen to the truth, obey the truth. Now, when they do that, this message is good. But when you take a look at what's going to happen, and I'll share with that in just a moment, how the people turn and how they live, this is a message that God did not give the people of Israel. He was saying, you are going to go into captivity. He was telling them clearly that they could not survive in the direction that they were going. He begged them to change. But the prophets kept saying, there is no need to change. Their message turned away from the truth and to what they wanted. The prophets are prophesying lies in my name, God said. I didn't send them, nor did I command them or speak to them. They are prophesying to you a blind vision, worthless divination, and deceit of their own mind. They refuse to preach the judgment of God. So, when there is no truth, if there's no truth tonight, I can preach whatever I want. I can tell you to go in whichever direction I think you ought to go. I would tell you my truth. And you may say, well, no, I don't like your truth. My truth is this. And you see, all of us would be going in different directions. But just like these prophets, we would be saying, we're all going the same place. We all serve the same God. Everything is okay. God will not do these things to us. He's going to give us no sword, no famine, and we are going to have peace. So when there's no truth, prophets change their message. And when there's no truth and prophets change their message, men change their behavior. Thus says the Lord concerning his people, they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. You see, they wandered away from God toward making other gods and building idols. They started doing the very thing that God from the beginning said we must not do. And God kept telling them, if you follow those gods, those are gods that have ears that they can't hear, they have eyes that they can't see, they have mouths that they can't speak, they have feet, they can't go anywhere. But you see, it didn't matter to the people of God because the prophets changed their message and the people changed their behavior. And so, if you look on the slide, you're going to see what the people became involved in. These are listed throughout the book of Jeremiah. They became backsliders. They didn't care what God said. They were sliding away from God and going in the direction that they wanted to. They were behaving in a depraved sort of way. They weren't godly. They weren't good. They weren't thoughtful about spiritual things. They didn't care about the souls of other people. They were depraved. They committed perjury. It didn't bother them to lie and make false accusations. The refusal to be disciplined and to discipline people for disobeying God. Their hearts became very hard. They became ignorant of God's laws because, you see, they stopped hearing God's law. They stopped hearing the truth of what God had told them because the prophets changed their message and their behavior changed and their hearts became hard and they were ignorant now of what God had to say to them. They were corrupt. They forsook God. They went to idolatry. And Jeremiah just says, you are not covenant keeper. You break the covenant of God. So when there is no truth, men are going to change their behavior. When we start changing our behavior, we certainly want to justify ourselves. We don't want people thinking that we are ungodly. Or just think about that list. How would you like to have Roy Sharp is and start in with beginning with his praise and read the rest of those characteristics and apply them to yourself? How would you like that? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to look better. I'm going to make myself feel better. I'm not going to go around thinking of myself in that way. I'm going to feel better and I'm going to do better according to my own thinking, and maybe, if I want to, I will listen to the prophet's changed message. They begin to think about God in this way. Now, as you read this, you've got to think, they were living the way they chose to. Their behavior had already changed, and now in the midst of those characteristics that we just saw, they said, no, our iniquities testify against us. Act, O Lord, for your name's sake, for our backsliding men, we have sinned against you. Boy, that sounds really good, doesn't it? Did you hear what the devil said? We're just going to make the truth, or rather the false things and evil sound good. We can keep on living that depraved, godless kind of life, and God is going to work for us because you know what? God doesn't want to have to let the rest of the world see that he is creating a mess and that he destroys his own people, that he doesn't love his own people. So they begin thinking God is going to take care of himself in that way. And then they raise the question, God, why should you be like a stranger in the land, like a traveler who turns aside to tarry at night? You see, we have some laws in Tennessee, I'm assuming, that Kentucky may not have. What if a traveler from Kentucky is driving through and they're not interested in what Tennessee is interested in? You see, that's what they're saying about God. You are like a person from another place traveling through a land you don't really know anything about. Why should you be like a traveler who just comes in for a few moments and then goes on their way? Why should you be like a man confused, like a mighty warrior who cannot say? You see, if God lets his people go into captivity and suffer famine and thirst and all the kinds of things that God promised them, God's going to be just like a warrior who was not up to the task. Why, God, would you be like that? You see, they came from being God-fearing, God-honoring, God-worshiping, God-obeying people to a people who were living in such an ungodly way. And now, we've had a false message. That false message has caused us to change our behavior. And when we change our behavior, we want to justify it, and we start taking a look at God as though God really is not who the Bible says he is. Here's the down part. The false prophets, false preachers, preach lies. When people listen and their behaviors change, and when people start thinking about God in some other way than the way the Bible presents him, one of the things that's going to happen is God will change his attitude. Therefore, the Lord does not accept them. And one of the biggest things in Ephesians chapter 1 is that we are accepted by God. But it's on his terms. It's not on my truth or your truth. It's based on his truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. When God starts wanting us to realize that we can be blessed and accepted by him in spite of our sins, in spite of the problems that we have, it is because the Lord has given us the truth and we must listen to it. And when we don't, the Lord will not accept us. He was now unwilling to accept his people. Now he will remember their iniquity and he will punish their sins. One of these passages about God is found in at least a couple of places. And that is that God will remember our sins no more. Boy, there's things in my life and in your life that we don't want anybody to know. We said that. We thought that. We did that. We plead with God to wipe that off of our record. He promises us that he will, but now these people have listened to the false prophets. They have misbehaved. They changed their view of God, thinking God's going to take care of us no matter how we live. And now God is saying, oh no, I will remember your iniquity and I will punish your sin. And then God said, so they pass. I will give them five. And though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. But I will consume them. I'll consume them by the sword. I'll consume them by famine. I'll consume them by pestilence. God's attitude is going to change when truth is not present. God can't take it. Our lives are going to suffer tremendously. When truth's not present, we will change our behavior. You think you're any different than supervision? We will change our view of God. God's grace will cover everything, no matter how we live. When you hear people say that today, it's exactly what the Israelites would say. God won't let that happen to us. Our world, and I would say, especially America now, needs to wake up and see what happens when there is no truth. Billy gave us a great passage this morning as we listen to what he had to say. You shall know the truth. The truth sets you free. Tonight, if you are thinking about your truth and what God says about salvation, and it's different from what God says, your truth is different from what God says, Jeremiah will tell you. He would tell you better than thinking about what happens when you don't have truth. Truth will set you free. You listen to what God says, it will set you free from the shackles of sin, from the burden, from the punishment, from any part of sin. It will be gone, but it takes the truth. Listen to the truth and not changing your behavior when you listen to some false teacher. Listen to the truth. Because it's a shame if you listen to a lie, it's a shame if you die. And nothing like we can imagine in this world could ever happen to us that would be worse than the God gave us. One of the things that Jeremiah shows us is God is saying, Jeremiah, stop. Three times, God says, do not pray for these people. You teacher, God is saying that. Don't pray for these people. They are too far gone. They are going to be disciplined with the sword, famine, pestilence, captivity. Is there any wonder that we refer to Jeremiah as a weeping prophet? Love his people. And God is going to let these people do what they choose. Notice that. God's going to let you do what you do. Well, I just don't see how God can do that. I believe these people are going to be saved. These people are going to be saved. And those people are right. You can believe whatever you want. But nothing matters than the truth of God's word. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You can believe whatever you want. But that's the word of God. Unless you repent of sins, that's what Jeremiah was trying to tell these people in Israel, unless you repent, you will all, likewise, anyone who refuses to listen to the truth of God's word about repentance will be lost. Jesus didn't say, unless you believe in some things about me. He said, unless you believe that I am the one who God sent, the one who has all truth, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. See, these folks in Israel changed their thinking about God so much, he was not the God of their salvation alone. Truth. Well, we need to focus on the truth, don't we? And as we study this month on truth, may all of us seek the truth. Listen to what Billy Smith says about truth and check it out with the truth of God's word. Listen to what Roy Sharp says about truth and check it out with God's word. And when you read God's word, obey. Great blessings come when truth is present. And so tonight, there may be a need for you to turn back to the truth. Maybe you've never obeyed the truth of being born into the family of God by being washed in the blood of the Lamb through this great ceremonial act of baptism. It may be that you have left the truth and followed some other teaching, but you know you need to come back and you want to make a public response and let us know. That's our hope. That's our prayer. I can tell you, if you are not a Christian, there are people who are just like the prophet Jeremiah, who are weeping and holy. And our God will be the most perfect and the most sad. So if you need to respond, please come as we stand in the presence.